Translation by Srila Prabhupada. We were bringing the most sinful Ajamil toward the hellish planets, following your order. When those beautiful persons from Sitaloka forcibly cut the knots of the ropes with which we were arresting him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that the Yamadutas wanted to bring the Vishnudutas before Yamaraj. If Yamaraj could then have punished the Vishnudutas, the Yamadutas would have been satisfied. Text 10. As soon as the sinful Ajamil uttered the name Narayan, these four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, "Do not fear, do not fear. We wish to know about them from your lordship. If you think we are able to understand them, kindly describe who they are." Purport. The order carriers of Yamaraj, being very much aggrieved because of their defeat by the four Vishnudutas, wanted to bring them before Yamaraj and, if possible, punish them. Otherwise, they desired to commit suicide. Before pursuing either course, however, they wanted to know about the Vishnudutas from Yamaraj, who is also omniscient. Text 11. Shri Badarayani Ruvacha Iti Devas Aprishta Prajasam Yamano Yamaha Pritak Swadutam Pratyaha Smaran Pandam Ujam Hare. Translation. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, "Thus having been questioned, Lord Yamaraj, the supreme controller of the living entities, was very pleased with his order carriers because of hearing from them the holy name of Narayan. He remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and began to reply." Purport. Srila Yamaraj, Jai Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Yamaraj, the supreme controller of the living entities in terms of their pious and impious activities, was very pleased with his servants because they had chanted the holy name of Narayan in his dominion. Yamaraj has to deal with men who are all sinful and who can hardly understand Narayan. Consequently, when his order carriers uttered the name of Narayan, he was extremely pleased, for he is also a Vaishnava. Om Angana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Vokam Karoti Vachanam Pangam Lange Tigram Yakripatamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatanam Paramananda Marvam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the servants of Yamaraj, they brought their master great happiness, because usually they only bring Yamaraj bad news. Whenever the Yamadutas come there, they have someone in their rope, in their noose, and they're dragging some sinful soul to Yamaraj for judgment and punishment to the various hellish planets. So they're always bringing bad news. His servants, his disciples, the Yamadutas, they're saying, "Yamaraj, good morning, here's more bad news. Good morning, here's more bad news." And it's explained that actually it's inauspicious to give bad news to someone. If you meet someone for the first time or the first time of the day, when you meet them, you should not give them bad news. "Oh, Prabhu, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, that's bad. Very bad." This is considered to be inauspicious to tell something negative or something bad about another person. The bad, maybe he's there, but let the badness advertise itself. Don't be an advocate of that negativity. Don't be an advocate of that badness. When one greets one another, they should create auspicious vibrations. by positive news, by the good news of Krishna consciousness, or what they say, the good tidings of spiritual progress, or the festivals you just went, oh Prabhu, you just went to this temple last night, we saw the beautiful darshan, you should go tonight, it's very beautiful. This is good news, news about Krishna and his festivals. So in the same way, Yamaraj, he was so happy. He was so happy, he was pleased, because he heard the holy name from his servants. Because generally the Yamadutas, they're not doing any chanting. They're, you could imagine what they're saying to the conditioned soul when they're dragging him in their ropes. You dirty dog, you know, this and that. They don't have any kind words for that sinful soul they're bringing to Yamaraj. Because you can see by this transaction, these verses, that the Yamadutas, they have some anger within them. Because they were thinking, who are these Vishnu Dutas? They stopped us. We should bring them over to our master and have them punished. So they wanted to get some revenge. So revenge is a sign of tamagun. Someone wants revenge as a sign of ignorance. So the Yamadutas are thinking, we've been stopped. We've been frustrated in our service. And these Vishnudutas have stopped us. Let's drag them also to Yamaraj and punish them too. Who do they think they are? So like this, they have this kind of mood. So they're very angry type of persons. And you can see them very graphically portrayed in the fifth canto paintings and some other paintings and the other newer books from the Europe. They're quite ferocious characters, the Yamadutas. It's not someone you would like to meet in a dark alley in Vrindavan at night. Very ferocious. So when they came, it was quite an unusual event when they came and they chanted the holy name Narayan. Because in the kingdom of Yamaraj, all you hear is screaming and yelling and all kinds of petitioning and crying of the conditioned souls. It is a hellish situation. Of course, Yamaraj is a Mahajan. And the Mahajans, they like so much to hear the holy name of the Lord. One of it says, Swayambhur Narada Shambhu, Prahlado Janako Bhishmo, Balir, and it says, Balir Vayasaki Vayam. Yamaraj is speaking this verse where he's glorifying all the great devotees of the Lord, all the great Mahajans, all the great preachers, Narada Muni, Janaka Rishi, Prahlad Maharaj. And he's saying, Shambhu, Shambhu is Lord Shiva, Mahadev, Sankarshan, Gopishwara, Bhuteshwara, Pipaleshwara, Kundeshwara, Kameshwara, so many Lord Shivas are here, blessing us in Vrindavan. So Lord Shiva is explained that when he hears the kirtan party of Lord Chaitanya, he becomes so happy. He becomes so pleased. When Lord Chaitanya was moving through Navadvip with the Nagar kirtan and the Prem Sankirtan chanting, and Lord Chaitanya, Lord Shiva, he heard this chanting way far away in Mount Kailas. He started chanting along. He started chanting. Actually, as explained previous to that, that was during Gaur Leela, but before Gaur came to this planet, one time, Shiva was dancing so vigorously. He was dancing and chanting, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. He was raising his arms and he was playing his din-din drum, his damru drum in one hand, and he was Tandava dancing, this Tandava Nritya, this very wonderful dance that Lord Shiva does. He was dancing with so much enthusiasm and exuberance that the devatas, Brahma, Indra, Chandra, Surya, they were saying, what's going on? Because the universe was swaying back and forth. Because he was standing on this side and on that side and then pushing the whole planetary system down with every step that he was taking. Because Lord Shiva is not a small-time demigod. And he was in ecstasy of chanting, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And very enjoying very much the holy name. He was very pleased to hear and chant the holy name of Gauranga. And Parvati Maharani, she said, oh, Mahadev, what is this ecstasy? All the demigods are disturbed. They're telling me I have to stop you. Because no one can approach you when you're in this type of... They don't know whether you're angry. It's a time of dissolution. Are you going to destroy the universe? Is this a dance of devastation to destroy the universe? Or they don't understand. I can see that you're actually in ecstasy. So they're telling me they're afraid to approach you. Just like when the Sringadev came out of the column, all the demigods were afraid to approach Lord Nisringadev. Even Lakshmi said, who is this? I don't know. They were pushing Lakshmi, this is your husband. This is your consort. You placate his anger. You cool him down. And she was afraid to go. So all the demigods were afraid to approach Lord Shiva, so they went to Parvati. Oh, Parvati Devi, please, cool down your husband. Stop his dancing. We're all going crazy. So then he stopped, and then she said, and she was very enchanted. Parvati was enchanted. What is this name I've never heard before? Gauranga. So then Mahadev told, actually in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya will come, Radha and Krishna will come as Gauranga, and when I chant this name, I simply go into ecstasy and feel so happy and pleased. So the Mahajans, like Lord Shiva, or like Yamaraj, they feel great pleasure in hearing and chanting the holy name. And this is what's being explained here, that he was so happy, he was greatly pleased to hear the holy name. And what happened when he heard the holy name? Something happened. That when Yamaraj heard the holy name, it's explained that there was something that happened. It says that Smaran Padambujam Hare. Smaran Padambujam. Padambujam Hare. Smaran. When he heard the holy name chanted by his disciples, his followers, then he remembered the lotus feet, the ambuja, the lotus feet, para ambuja hare, the lotus feet of Krishna. And this is actually the result of hearing. One should remember the lotus feet of Krishna. When one hears the holy name, he feels very joyful. He's very pleased. And that hearing, whether he's chanting himself or he hears someone else chant the holy name, that chanting, that holy name, transports his mind and heart to the lotus feet of Krishna. And he can remember. So how much happy he was feeling. So from this verse, we see a secret. How to please a devotee. How to please a devotee. It's very simple. You simply chant Hare Krishna. If you want to please a devotee, you chant Hare Krishna, because when he hears someone chanting, then immediately he remembers Krishna. He remembers his beloved Ishtadev, Shamsundar, Krishna Balaram, Radharani. And in that way, he's very happy. So that's why the pure devotees, they're burning. The Mahabhagavats, they're burning with the desire to see the whole world chant the holy name. Because it gives them great pleasure, and of course it pleases the Lord. So the Yamadutas, they found the way to the heart of Yamaraj simply by chanting the name of Narayan. They pleased him. And pleasing the devotee, what does pleasing the devotee mean? It means helping him remember Krishna. Just like in the material world, all the non-devotees, they're trying to please themselves. They're making all kinds of arrangements to satisfy and to please their ears and their senses and their mind, please their mind. They want their minds to be happy. They want their minds to be full of happiness and joy. And they want their ears, they want to hear nice sounds that will bring them happiness. They're also trying to make arrangements for pleasure. But in the society of devotees, our pleasure is of a different sort, the transcendental pleasure. And our pleasure is increased the more we engage in hearing and chanting about the Lord, the more our pleasure increases. It's explained in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Nivritta tarasheru bhigiyamanad, avoshadi chotra mano biramat. Chotra biramat. Chotra mano biramat. That when the topics of Krishna are heard, the rasayana kata, the chotra means the karna, the ear becomes very happy, pleased, satisfied, biramat. And the mind, mano biramat, the mind becomes very happy. If devotees are in a state of displeasure or dissatisfaction, if they are not feeling very pleased or very happy within themselves, it's due to a shortage of hearing. They're not hearing about the Lord, the glorious names of the Lord, the glorious pastimes of the Lord. So this is one teaching that we're given here, that Yamaraj, he felt great pleasure in hearing the name. And we see the example of the other Mahajans, they also enjoy. And devotees, as they advance, when they come to this higher platform, they will relish the holy name. This is called ruchi. Ruchi. We have in the progress, the gradual progress of the soul towards prema, we have this state of ruchi, which means a taste for the holy name. That when we chant the holy name, it gives us chotra manobi ramat. It fills our mind with pleasure. It satisfies our ears to hear the holy name. Of course, in our conditioned state of anartha nivritti, we're in the platform, we're swimming and drowning in the ocean of anarthas. So naturally, naturally, just compared to a disease condition, that we can't appreciate the taste of sweets when we're in the jaundice condition. So the medicine, gradually we take the sugar, then the taste comes back, and we can appreciate the taste of food, and especially sweet taste. So the holy name is so sweet, but we have no taste for it. In Madhurya Kadambini, there's some discussion about ruchi. It gives a definition of ruchi. It explains that one has a... I'll just read it. Read it. It's very nice. Ruchi, what is the stage of ruchi? We have anartha nivritti, then there's nishta, where we become very steady and our faith becomes very, very firm. Very, very nishta. Just like we have kanishta and madhyam. Everyone knows kanishta means the beginning devotee, the neophyte devotee. What does kanishta mean? It means his faith is not nishta. Kanishta means no nishta. It means it's without nishta. Kanishta, neophyte devotee without nishta, means his faith is komala shraddha. It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, komala shraddha. Komala means very soft, very pliable and breakable. In asatsanga, that faith, that shraddha can be broken if he associates with materialists or with non-devotees or sinful people. That faith is soft, it can be broken. Because kanishta, he hasn't come to nishta. Madhya means nishta. When you become nishta, when your faith becomes very firm, very hard to break, practically unbreakable, as it increases more and more. So this is the platform of madhyam, beginning madhyam. It's this vishwash, shraddha vishwash, this very firm faith. So after nishta, then comes this state of ruchi. So Madhurya Kadambini defines ruchi as developing a taste for the activities of bhakti, like hearing and chanting the holy name. And this taste for the activities of bhakti is vastly greater than your taste for anything else. Your taste for sense enjoyment, taste for eating, sleeping, all these attractions and deep-rooted tastes that we have, they become insignificant at the stage of ruchi. You can understand, yes, I'm actually at the stage of ruchi, or I'm approaching ruchi, because I have such a great taste for these things, hearing and chanting and reading about Krishna. I have no taste for reading about mundane topics, absolutely none. Newspapers, magazines, all this mundane, there's no taste there. And no taste for speaking all these village talks and gossip. No taste. This is some symptoms when the taste is for these activities of bhakti is very great and intense. Unlike the previous stages before ruchi, nishta, and anartha nivritti, at the stage of ruchi, one will constantly practice devotional activities. And when he's performing devotional activities like hearing or chanting or kirtan or reading, he does not get fatigued. He doesn't get tired. Oh, I'm very tired. I can't stay up all night in Ekadasi. I was chanting for some time. I fell asleep. And no taste. No ruchi. But the fatigue doesn't come. And then it says, when one comes to the stage of ruchi, ruchi quickly produces intense addiction. Ruchi produces intense addiction to the activities of bhakti. And they give the example, the analogy of a brahmana boy. And we have our Gurukula. So at first the brahmana goes to Gurukula and he starts studying Naya and Shastra, Sanskrit, everything, Vyakaran. And at first he's studying out of duty, and his teacher says, now you study, now is your class, now you study. But after some time he gets a taste for studying. And he's inwardly compelled to open the books and study. He has a thirst for it. And he just starts reading everything and just devouring all the Vedas. And within a few years he becomes Trivedi, Chaturvedi, or whatever. He becomes a master. So it says that at the stage of ruchi, one is like this enthusiastic Brahman who has a natural taste for studying. So when, in the beginning, we're going through the practices of bhakti, and very external and mechanical and mental, and gradually as the anarthas get removed and purified and we become steady, then we start to run towards these activities, and like an addiction, the word is used addiction. And there's no any, and this Brahmin boy, it's explained that he doesn't feel any difficulty when he's studying. When he first starts studying, it's very difficult. He falls asleep when he's studying Sanskrit, and he's learning all these mantras and so many things. It's difficult. But when he becomes awakened, when he becomes advanced in his taste for studying, then he doesn't fall asleep. He doesn't even notice the passage of time. Hours go by. It's the middle of the night. He doesn't even know it. He's studying deep into the night. You see students in university. They have so much taste. So much taste. Laukiki ras, or laukiki ruchi. And taste for the material world. They stay up all night studying. You see, or if you went to university, you had the experience. All night long studying chemistry, computer science, physiology, physics, all these things. And you're not eating, or your friend says, come on, we have to go to the hostel and get some prasad or bhoga or whatever, prasad. No, 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 I have to study. I don't have time to eat. No time to eat. And then your roommate will say, Prabhu, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you have to sleep. You can't stay up all, no, no, I can't sleep, I have to learn this thing, I have to study, I have to learn this, you know, Krebs energy cycle or the, you know, ATP transport or whatever these mundane things they teach in science. So his taste is so intense. So like that, a progressive devotee, a sincere devotee will also come to this plane of ruchi. And then they explain there's two types of ruchi. There's two types of ruchi. One ruchi is ruchi mixed with impurity, and one is pure ruchi. And taste, or pure taste, is that anyone is chanting Hare Krishna. If you hear someone chanting Hare Krishna, you're very happy. It gives you pleasure. And any bhakta or anyone's playing kartals and leading a kirtan, you're feeling happy to join in that kirtan or hear that kirtan. Or someone's performing any limb of devotional service, you're very pleased. Just like Yamaraj, he was very pleased to hear the Yamadutas chanting Narayan. Maybe it wasn't, they weren't, their voices aren't very sweet, and it wasn't very nicely sung. I mean, you can imagine Yamadutas when they speak, Narayan, Narayan. Isn't that something swara? Isn't that something maru swara? Some sweet swara, you know? This is some rough chanting. But Yamaraj, he was, oh, very nice, very nice. Because he had this ruchi. Definitely, he had ruchi, Mahajan. He had a ruchi for hearing Krishna's name. And when he heard it, he was very pleased and satisfied. So this is the pure ruchi. But the impure, the ruchi that which is the taste, you come to the platform of ruchi, some ruchi is there, taste for devotional activities and spontaneous attraction. But you will not be pleased by the hearing of the holy name if all the arrangements aren't very nice. Someone said, oh, that kirtan leader, who should get rid of that guy? He's on the 24-hour kirtan party, he sings like a frog. He sings like a frog, he plays kartals like he doesn't know anything. You know, I can't stand it. So like that, if the particulars of bhakti aren't exactly right, then he won't experience his taste because it's impurity. He wants everything just exactly right. He's explaining there's these two types of ruchi. Of course, we see the example of our great acharyas that when they're experiencing, when they're hearing and chanting, they're not thinking that, oh, I have these 2 ears, these 2 ears are enough. They're actually, there's a nice shloka where Rupa Goswami explains that he wants to have millions of ears to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord. That's Ananta Lila. And he wrote this verse and Lord Chaitanya discovered it because he was writing it on a palm leaf. And it says the Lord was very pleased with the verse. And then he glorified Rupa Goswami. He said, oh. He said, Sri Rupair Akshara Yena Mukutara Panti Pratihana Karin Prabhu Akshara Stuti. He said, Rupa Goswami, look how beautiful his handwriting is. It looks as beautiful as a string of pearls. Just like a string of pearls, very neat and perfectly arranged. Each the same size and very attractive to look at. So he was glorifying the handwriting. And then not only that, he said, now listen to the shloka. Listen to this wonderful shloka that Rupa Goswami has composed. Because he's experiencing so much ruchi. Tunde tandavani ratim vitanute tandhavali labdaye karna krodha kadambini gatayate karnam budebhya spriham cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyat biramrite krishneti varna dvaye. Rupa Goswami, he's saying, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. So this is the pleasurable experience that liberated souls, the Muktajana, liberated souls are Rupa Goswami, they experience when they chant the holy name of the Lord. They can't hear enough of the nectar. They can't have enough tongues to taste the nectar. So Yamaraj, he's having this taste. He's experiencing some ruchi when his Yamadutas chanted Narayana. He's, oh, very nice. I'm so pleased. And immediately his mind, he was feeling so satisfied. Chotra Manobi Ramat. His mano was so biramat. He was feeling so pleased. Immediately his mind ran to the lotus feet of his beloved. Padambujam Hare. It ran there. So this is the position of Rupa Goswami. That his mind is completely resting at every moment at the lotus feet of Radha Govinda Dev. And he's experiencing so much pleasure there, so much taste. So these examples of our Mahajans, they're meant to inspire us also to try to come to this platform of ruchi where the mind becomes very pleased by tasting the holy name and relishing the activities of devotional service. We are meant to always see the future, see the next signpost. Oh, we're here, but we're going there. We're here in Artha Nivritti, and we're becoming something little bit nishta, tiny little bit of firmity is there, nishta. And we want to come to this next stage of ruchi, and on to prema. This we must always see and measure how we're closing in to the goal, how close we're getting to the goal. It's explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter that the whole world becomes joyful when they hear the holy name of Krishna. Just as Yamaraj, he was very joyful to hear the holy name. In the 11th canto, 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the shloka says, this chutva, the same word is there, chutva. It says that Arjuna vacha stane rishikesha tava pakirtya jagat pravishyati anarajyate cha raksham shibitani disho javanti sarve namasyanti chasita sangha. Arjuna said, O Rishikesh, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful. Jagat parishyati. Parishya means rishya, or harsha means happiness, and parishyati means full of joy. The jagat, the whole world becomes joyful to hear the name of Krishna. Because the whole world doesn't only mean the earth planet, where there's so many asuras and non-devotees. The whole world means all the planetary systems, the jagat. So the most of the jagat is filled with devotees, filled with suras. And they become very happy to hear the holy name of the Lord. And then when the world hears the holy name, they become attached to Krishna. Jai Krishna Balaram ki jai. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is explaining also that, oh Krishna, this holy name of yours is very wonderful. That the whole world will become pleased and happy to hear it. Not only the person who chants the holy name, but anyone who hears it. And this stage of having a taste for the holy name is explained also in Madhya Lila, Sadaruchi, Sadanama Ruchi. The one will always come to the platform of always having a taste for the holy name. Text 98. This is in Madhya Lila chapter 23, text 18. This is explaining that this taste, when does this taste actually fully come? Ruchi. The actual ruchi, the real full taste, when one is free from all the impurities in his performance of the holy, of the activities of bhakti, that comes at the state of the beginning state of bhava. Because here in chapter 23 of Madhya Lila, they're describing the symptoms of bhava. And one of the symptoms is nam gane saruchi. Shantir avyarta kalatvam Viraktir Manasunyata Ashabanda Samutkanta Namagane Sadaruchi. Namagane Sadaruchi. Sadaruchi means always you have a taste. You always have a taste for the Namgan, the qualities and activities of the holy name. You always want to hear about the holy name. You always relish hearing other people chant the holy names. And you always have a taste for chanting the holy name yourself. Asaktistad Gunakyane Pritistad Vasatisale Ityadayo Nubhava Syur Jata Bhavan Kure Jane Bhavan Ankure. It says Bhavan Ankure. These are the roots of Bhava. These are the symptoms. The ankura means a seed. When the seed of bhava, or ecstatic emotion for Krishna, fructifies, the following 9 symptoms manifest in one's behavior. So what are the symptoms of bhava? One is the concern that my time should not be wasted. And another one is forgiveness. You'll forgive. You'll forgive and forget. Forgiveness. Detachment. Absence of false prestige. Hope, great hope will be there, and great eagerness, and sade, and then nam gane sadaruche. You'll have a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord. And you'll have attachment for the transcendental descriptions of the Lord's name and form and fame and pastimes. And you'll have affection. It says priti vasatis. Pritis vasatis. You'll have priti. You'll actually have love and affection for the vasa, Vrindavan vas, for living in Vrindavan. You'll have affection and attachment to live in the places of Krishna's pastimes like Vrindavan. Prabhupada says you'll have affection for those holy places where the Lord resides. Where does the Lord reside? And then Prabhupada says, the Lord resides like in the temple. You'll have affection. You'll have affection to live in the temple. And you'll have affection to live in Vrindavan or Mayapur, the holy Dham. These are visible in a person in whose heart, Bhava Ankur, Bhava Ankur, a person in whose heart the seed, the Ankur, the seed of love of God has begun to fructify. So, from this verse, we can understand that real ruchi, real taste for the holy name, will not manifest in us till we come to the platform of Bhav. But even then, it is listed as a state after Nishtha. There's ruchi, then asaktis, then bhav. So there's a nice explanation here. The question is, well, what should we do now? Because we're not in the platform of ruchi. And how do we come to the platform of ruchi? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he explains there's something that's really required. There's an essential element that's required in our bhakti. And that's called repentance. We must cry before the lotus feet of the holy name. We must submit, lie down, pranipateno, like a stick in front of the holy name, the Sri Nam Prabhu. Oh Sri Nam Prabhu, oh Hari Nam Prabhu, I'm the grossest offender. I'm the worst of men, the vilest and wickedest, most wicked of people. I'm offending your name at every moment. Please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. So this repentant mood, this mood of repentance. So then even a prayer is given there. Vishwanath is so kind, he's indicating, if you don't know how to pray, if you don't know how to offer a prayer of repentance to the lotus feet of Sri Nam Prabhu, then take my prayer. He's saying, take my prayer, and he gives the prayer. Oh friend, abandoning the nectar of Krishna's names, why are you engaged in useless talks of family pursuits and of security and in material enjoyment? I am so wicked. Though I have received the precious jewel of bhakti from my spiritual master, I am so unfortunate that I have neglected it. Wandering here and there, I have passed my years of life in vain, not practicing any activities of real bhakti. I have simply displayed lethargy, laziness, and indolence. Alas, such is my sense of taste. He's saying, I don't. Where is my taste? Alas, such is my sense of taste that I lick up, you know, lick up with your tongue. I lick up the bitter tasting profane. I lick up bitter tasting profane gossip like nectar. Oh, nectar, gossip, rumors, faults, problems, difficulties, nectar. Tell me more. Oh, I'm enjoying. Lick it up. Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat. Licking and chewing and drinking. 4 kinds of ways you want to enjoy this nectar of illusion. He says, Because I lick up the bitter-tasting, profane gossip like nectar, and I remain apathetic and lazy to hear about the names and qualities and pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. When I start to hear about the Lord, I comfortably fall asleep. Like my friend, it's a very good thing. If you ever have someone come and visit you in your room and you don't want them to stay around, you say, "Oh Prabhu, let's read the Bhagavatam. Let's read the 10th canto of Bhagavatam." So when you start reading, two things will happen. Your friend will either fall asleep, he will comfortably fall asleep, or if he's a little more passionate, he'll say, "Oh, Prabhu, that's really nice. I really thank you very much for reading that. I really appreciate your association. I have to go. I have to go. I have a very important appointment." "Oh, really? Where do you have to go?" "Oh, you know this, my wife, that, my husband this, my friend that, and blah, 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 blah." Everything but Nam Ruchi. Maya Ruchi. "Oh Prabhu, Maya's calling me. Come taste. Come lick up some gossip. Come lick up some boga." This is our experience in 20 years. It's a wonderful magic. You want to get rid of your friend? Because if he falls asleep, then you also get rid of him, because then you can do whatever you want. He's sleeping peacefully. And if you want to have him leave the room, it works both ways. Simply open the Bhagavatam. And as Vishnu says, "Whenever I read about the Lord, I comfortably fall asleep." And at the opportunity for vulgar discussion, I prick up my ears and become wide awake. "Oh, really? He did? Oh, she did? Oh, then what did you say? Oh, terrible." You know, your ears, you know, your ears prick up. "Oh, what? Really? That sannyasi, what? Oh, really? Tell me about what happened then?" Your ears grow 18 inches tall. Whoa. And they scoop the nectar from 360 degrees. Where's that nectar of gossip and blasphemy and aparad? Let me drink it up. I become wide awake for that, but I fall asleep whenever Krishna Katha is spoken. In this way, I have always contaminated the assembly of the Vaishnavas. This is the mood of repentance. This is the prayer of repentance in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us. I've always contaminated the assembly of the swan-like Vaishnavas. So, repenting his previous low state of consciousness, a sincere devotee eventually remains in the association of devotees and he relishes the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he enters the holy dham of Sri Vrindavan and he becomes fixed up in devotional service. Seva Nishtha. He becomes fixed up. And then he tries to learn the new dance step. He tries to learn the new dance step of the devotee's joyful process of meditating on and serving Krishna. So when he lives with the devotees, he lives in the holy dham, he becomes very fixed up in his service, and he sits with them, and he hears the Bhagavatam, and he becomes nishta. Then he tries to learn from them the dance step, the new dance step. It's a new dance step. How to fix the mind, how to remember Krishna and meditate and serve in the Lord. And at that time, Ruchi Devi, the dance instructress, she's a female teacher of dance. At that time, Ruchi Devi will take me by the hand and she will personally teach me. And then that devotee, he will begin to taste unimaginable bliss. Unimaginable bliss. Who can describe in what realm of bliss he will reside when in time he is made to dance by the two head mistresses of dance, Bhava and Prema? So, by the mercy of the devotees, he will learn a new dance step. It's called Seva Nishtha. It's a dance step of Seva Nishtha. And when that Nishtha becomes very firm and deep, then Ruchi Devi will say, "Oh, there's a new candidate for the dance. Please, Prabhu, take my hand. Come and dance with me." And he will dance with Ruchi in the arena of bhakti. And in that arena of bhakti, so much bliss will shower your soul and saturate your mind and heart. And great happiness will be there. And then you'll dance for some time with Ruchi. Then Ruchi will lead you to her teachers, because she's only the instructress, but there's also the headmistress. Like you have the headmaster. But in this school of bhakti, there's all shakti tattva. It's all shakti tattva. So Ruchi Devi will lead you to the hand of the headmistresses of dance, bhava and prema. And you'll enter that vast realm of Brajabhava. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if there's any questions or comments, we'll stop here. Devotee saying, if you're chanting the holy name of the Lord, should you or can you think of the pastimes of the Lord? If you're fortunate, that may happen. You may be able to remember the pastimes. But there's two things. One thing is that the holy name is Krishna, and whenever Krishna is there, all his pastimes and associates and everything is there. So when one's chanting purely, automatically, without artificial endeavor, oh, now I'm remembering the pastime. Now Krishna's walking here. Now Krishna's walking there. That's good also. But at the ultimate stage, automatically, it's just like when you watch a movie, you don't watch the movie and say, oh, now the person will enter from the right. Now the person will sit down. Now the person will say something. Now the person will throw something. You know, you just watch the movie and it all happens one by one by one. You just observe it. You're the observer. And you enter into the mood of that movie. So in the pure stage, that chanting is like that the name reveals all the root and form and everything, and the gradual purification of the heart. But as a practice, as a sadhana, of course, Prabhupada wrote one letter to Hayagriva. When Hayagriva asked the same question, it's mentioned in the Appreciating Vrindavan book, Prabhupada said, yes, this is the goal. Prabhupada said, 1969, he said, this is the goal, to remember Krishna's pastimes while you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if you can, if your mind is so peaceful that you can remember Krishna's pastimes when you're chanting, that's very good. You do that. You practice. That is your good fortune from previous lives. Because in previous lives you have practiced, so now your mind can go there very easily. But generally most people's minds are like an X-rated movie. Most people's minds are like an X-rated movie, so when they chant all the reruns, they watch all the reruns, and they become a little distracted from such high meditation. It's a very high meditation to chant the holy name and think of the pastimes. Generally, we're told to chant the holy name and hear, listen, hear the sound. Hear the syllables of the holy name. Each syllable is, it's called Yugal Nam. Each syllable is Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare. Each syllable is Radha and Krishna. It is Yugal Nam. The question is, when we return to the spiritual world, Ananda Vrindavan, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, when we return this to Ananda Vrindavan, the blissful realm of Vrindavan, what value will, or what use or utilization or value are the activities which we're performing now in Boma Vrindavan, will they have in Nitya Vrindavan or Ananda Vrindavan? The thing is, what you have to understand what goes on in the spiritual world. Everything we're doing here is just a matter of turning the switch. In the spiritual world, they're chanting, they're dancing, they're discussing Krishna's pastimes and recounting his pastimes and reenacting them and getting completely absorbed in them, so much so that they're seeing them one by one in their madness of separation from day to day. It's a daily affair. And they're making garlands and they're cooking offerings and all the things. They're doing all the things here. All the things we're doing here, we're perfecting for that place. Or simply, whatever you do in your sadhana will become your sadhya. Whatever you practice, you'll become perfect. So practice bhakti, practice making a flower garland in this life so perfectly. In the next life, you can make eternally flower garlands of Radhasham Sundar and Tulsi Mala. So all these activities are the same. It's in one, and you'll begin to see the Lord face to face when our consciousness becomes pure. Then we see that what I'm doing is, this is my eternal service. If you want to do this service eternally, and you're saying you have some taste from these activities now, and you experience some taste, then you can offer this service eternally. Yayatamam prapadyante. As you surrender to Krishna, as you want to serve Him, as you want to love Him, He will reciprocate and accept accordingly. in a reciprocal mood of loving exchange. So this is, we're in the spiritual world, apricot and prakat. This is apricot and that's prakat. That's manifest, this is unmanifest. But this becomes manifest. Radha and Krishna become manifest here when we fully accept them. When we fully accept them and fully surrender to them, then they say, here I am. Here I am. I've been here all the time. I've been here all the time, but you haven't seen me because you weren't willing to accept me and surrender to me. But we're here. We're just waiting. The deities are, there are deities now, but they become Radha Shama Sundara at that point. They don't move now, but they move then. They don't speak now, but they speak then. So when our consciousness fully surrenders and accepts them, then they speak to us and they dance everything. They're there. They're here. They're in the, but it's our problem, not theirs. So as we become purified, then the spiritual world lives before us. We see it before us. So it's not that these activities are cut or abandoned when we go to the spiritual world and we learn a whole new set of activities. Although we may learn some new things, and new services, that's there also. But many of the things that we do here, we'll do there. Srila Prabhupada.